This is Valerie Mansi, and today I am in the studio with Lisa Samelin, artist, and she has a show currently at the Catskill Art Society in Livingston Manor that will be running through August 25th. Mm-hmm. And Lisa has been gracious enough to come in and talk a bit about her work with us. Lisa, your work, it's almost mural-like on some level.
Well, I've been a muralist for the last 15 years.
Oh, really?
Years.
Oh, okay. So
that all makes sense.
That makes sense. But intimate as well. It's an interesting marriage of memory, imagination, love, loss.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Tell us a little bit about the work. Maybe describe it a little bit first.
Sure. Well, what I'd like to sort of say, segueing from what you were mentioning about that sense of mural in the work, it's funny because the mural segment of my life grew out of a fine art installation many years ago where I had taken the back room, small room in a gallery.
Where was that?
In Hastings.
Oh, on Hudson?
One of the river towns, yeah. And painted big canvas panels that I cut to fit the walls, like cutting out for the window and the doorway. And it was a highly personal kind of piece called The Story Is in the Walls. But partly out of that and one thing and another, like the twists and turns of life, I ended up offering my services as a muralist because I really like something very profound and magical about painting on the wall.
Yes.
You know, I mean, partly I sometimes think it's my revenge for my childhood. Like what kid didn't want to draw all
on
over the
walls?
You know?
Exactly. How tempting.
As a muralist, what I've tried consistently my best to do is speak with the potential quote unquote client in depth beforehand. And through that collaboration of talking and thought, come up with the image that will really best serve this person. Like, what image should they be living with? What will affirm something? And over the last bunch of years as a muralist, I began to have this really, like, ache or longing to be my own client.
Okay.
You know, and to really sit down with me.
What was that like?
It's been wonderful. It's been immensely satisfying.
Can you share a little about what that process has been?
Well, it's really been, you know, a visual process in large measure. You know, it's like sometimes people ask about the meaning, you know, of a piece. And I find that a difficult, although I love words and I read constantly, it's a difficult translation from visual meaning to words meaning. And I could say the same a little bit about the process, although I'm very, very aware in a sensory and heart feeling level of what the process is. It's not that easy to describe, but what I'll describe is what I actually do.
Okay.
Which is I have amassed over time images that often come from, you know, quirky old social studies books from the third grade in the 50s, you know, I come across in yard sales and church sales in various strange places, odd old books. And I particularly love them when the printing process distorted the color, when it was sort of Kodachrome. I don't know what the process was.
I remember them.
Right?
Yeah.
Or they've yellowed further over time. So you get like turquoise skies, mm-hmm, and these sort of slight distortions, which just knock me out for some reason. And, you know, sometimes from actual photographs of people I've known and loved, but more usually not. Another source is the picture collection down in Manhattan that has just folders on every conceivable subject. And I just sort of cull through things, go through things, and things will just strike me as a place or a person or a face that I then combine in various ways, you know, that alter and combine. But in that process of sort of placing a central character, whether it's a person or a kangaroo or
an elephant
or an infant or whatever, and try that image out in many settings. And at a certain point, something just clicks. It's like bingo, you know, it's like, and it's always unexpected. It's not, mm-hmm, really of the head. It's like something suddenly equals for me some something I have experienced, mm-hmm. or something I've learned, or something I feel, and, you know, powerfully so, and then I paint from that.
And how has the response been?
The response has just been profoundly gratifying. I am infinitely grateful for the opportunity to have this show. It's such a beautiful space, and it's the energy of the gallery is so welcoming, and I have just enjoyed this profoundly.
Let's talk specifically about them. They're on canvas, mm-hmm. correct?
Yes.
And they are unframed.
Unframed and unstretched.
Oh, and unstretched.
Yes.
And what made you decide to exhibit them in that way?
Yeah, well, it started way back, I think, in the 80s for me. I was in school, and I suddenly just found the whole convention of a stretched rectangular, in that sense, on the grid, on the horizontal vertical grid, very off-putting. Mm-hmm. I just suddenly felt like, what does this have to do with me?
Okay.
You know, like partly as a woman, I suppose, because there is that aspect of as a woman having women over time having been excluded to one extent or another from the whole construction of the art world, the art scene. But it wasn't really a political thing. I just felt an attraction to the cloth. I thought this is a particular object that's been accepted as what art is, this stretched rectangular or square, you know, object. And I just started to feel like, why? I mean, not for other people, but just for me. I just felt like there's something about the cloth as a piece of cloth that works better for me.
Yeah, and I found my experience was that given the nature of the subject, that these were almost like private dreams floating in space.
Okay.
And they really did.
That's lovely.
And not your dreams. I felt that they
Thank
were
you.
Mine.
Oh, that's it. Thank you.
And if we can talk just a little bit about what's in a particular portrait.
Sure.
You have landscapes. You have some beautiful old buildings. And then you have perhaps an unexpected animal.
Yes.
You have infant. Mm-hmm. You have a little girl running to the post box. You have a grandma sitting with a tea kettle.
Mm-hmm.
They're really extraordinary juxtapositions. Mm. Well, how did you come up with that? Aside from what you already told me,
yes,
but there must
yes.
have been some texture about that that grabbed you to
about
have...
About the unexpectedness,
yes,
the juxtaposition.
Yes.
I wish I could say something, you know, deep or clever about it.
But it just happened.
It functions on a level that I'm not really, at this point anyway, accessing as concept or, idea. It's something happens in that moment of juxtaposition that I wish I could explain, but it's just profound to me and very far-reaching. And I don't know if, I mean, I read a lot, and there's a poem, and I'll probably get this wrong. I don't know if it's William Carlos Williams. It's somebody. And there's a line in it, I think, that's everything depends on the red wagon.
Oh, yes.
Yes?
Okay.
I don't know if the poet right. Forgive me, but there's something in that resonates so much for me. And there's something, so for me, there's something about that elephant standing in that town in Dover.
An English town, right.
It goes way beyond what it ought to, you know, conceptually, for me.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know, it just evokes worlds of personal meaning. And my great delight in the response to these pieces is that it sort of affirms for me something that has been my premise underlying all of this, which is if you really, in a courageous and sort of uncensored way, are true to something in yourself, even if, you know, I mean, I've gone home from the studio at times and, you know, sort of laughingly, joyfully, but like said to my husband or whoever else will listen, I think this painting is crazy, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, these are crazy. On one level, they're really crazy.
Yes.
But it has a meaning for me that is just profound. I mean, I love these paintings, not in the sense of you say, oh, I love this, I love that, you know, like because I think they're good. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I love them. And for you, as the viewer, to say they're your dreams too, well, that's the best. you know, because I believe that if you, as honest as you can be in whatever you're doing, probably in accessing the truth of yourself, then by rights, by theory, it ought to
translate,
be evocative for somebody else. Mm-hmm. And
your use of color is so very beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
The technique is beautiful throughout.
Thank you.
You also had some small works there that were very fun.
Thank you.
And can we talk a little bit about those?
Sure. Well, those are pieces that they're quite small. They're sort of, you know, the paintings are huge. One of them is like 14 feet wide, and they're sometimes 9 feet high. And the little pieces are quite little. They're like, some of them might be 5 by 6 inches. And it's interesting to me to note for myself that I buy it. I buy the authenticity of the very large life size. The figures are life size in the big pieces. But I also buy that little snow globe-like miniaturized size because it feels like a complete world also in miniature, but complete. So these are really come about in a very similar way in terms of content that I'm finding places, I'm finding objects, I'm painting little figures. Almost invariably, I've painted what in effect is like a little paper doll. And it might be an image of people in my life who I've loved, usually, or it may be some person I came across in some Sears and Roebuck catalog from 1954 who was advertising coats. But something in her face just meant something to me. And I paint the little figure and I meticulously cut it out. And then I experiment with popping it into one of these settings. And, you know, again, there's sort of that aha moment. Mm-hmm. And they have really been a great joy to me because I was able to do them through the very, very busy years of the murals when it would have been maddening, you know, with 2 days of downtime between murals to start a huge piece and have to walk out of that process when you're very engaged in it. But the little pieces were manageable.
And they had the little found objects in there as well.
Yes, sometimes, yeah.
Yeah.
Which I'm starting to do in the large pieces as well. Like in the elephant painting there and in the one
with the shoes?
Yes, the shoes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't realize that until I read it and it said mixed media and I'm saying, oh, what is that?
Those were actually in a catalog probably from the 40s and just certain objects from the 40s just do it for me. And it's a pink and a blue leather sort of slip-on slipper that must have been in a whole page of slippers you could buy. And the pink and the blue together just worked. So then I blew it up and put it on a board and then Velcroed it onto the piece. And the piece did not really, really work for me until the slippers were there.
The slippers need to be there.
They do.
Yeah.
Thank you for knowing that. Yeah.
Is there anything else you would like to add before? Your website, maybe.
Oh,
do you have a website?
I do. I mean, I have to update it, but hopefully I'll do that quickly. It's www.lisa-samhalin.
Okay. And also, for anyone that goes online to view them, keep in mind that these are huge.
Yeah.
They're life size.
Yes.
So that's an important factor to be able to keep in mind. Well,
I would just, this may seem a little bit from left field, but I just want to say to people that if it's in your heart to do it, do it. Because, and you can really go beyond, I mean, there was a whole thing which I won't go into, but in my family, I was not regarded as the real artist, the one, you know, it's a whole long story. And, you know, it's very intriguing to me that if you do the inner work in whatever form you may do that, you can really transcend that. And you can really do what is in your heart to do. And to me, that's a very important thing, to not be limited by whatever kind of messages or whatever you were given early on about what you could or couldn't do.
Well, that's a very beautiful addition to a very interesting conversation and inspirational. Well, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to come in, and thank you for sharing your beautiful artwork with this community. That will be up at the Catskill Art Society until August 25th. And the Catskill Art Society is in Livingston Manor, New York.